Jason, the Bears have a schedule. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, after days and days of leaks and lies and rumors and all the things that are probably the worst part about covering the NFL, the Bears have a schedule. They will play five nighttime games plus a day game on Thanksgiving at noon and Christmas Day at noon. It's what we thought it would be, right? An NFL leaning in to a team that's pretty exciting and most importantly in the third largest city in America.
Yeah, and I think they could end up playing more than half their games in standalone windows. The Bears are a big draw when they're bad on TV. And now, not only are they much better coming off 11-6, but they're exciting. I mean, they've got a coach that people are interested in. They've got a quarterback that people are interested in. So if the Bears are going to be on TV all the time, just even when they're bad, just by virtue of being from Chicago, and that when you put the Bears on TV, you get the Chicago market and all of the Chicago transplant market in places like Tampa and Phoenix and Los Angeles, then they're going to be on a lot when they're good. I was surprised that they weren't in the season kickoff game. I thought everything made sense for that. Seattle is a little bit of a tough team to sell to the country at large because they're kind of boring and they're in a corner of the country that nobody really thinks about other than people who live in the Pacific Northwest. And I did not think at all they would put the Patriots in there and start this season with the same matchup that ended last season. But like you said, Pat, the Bears are in a lot of really compelling national games. The first being a Monday night football game at home against the Eagles in week 3. They have a Thursday night game against the Patriots. They played in both Super Bowl teams from last year in week 7. That they do have Seattle on a national game. It's not the kickoff game, but it's Monday night football week 8, followed by Sunday night football at home against the Buccaneers in week 9. And then toward the end of the season, you've got the Thanksgiving game in Detroit. That's obviously an early game, but it is a national standalone game. And you've got a game at the Bills for Saturday night football in week 15, and Packers at home on Christmas Day. I mean, those are a lot of really good matchups. A lot of times you'll see the Bears get thrown into some Monday night football game against the Vikings, and it's, you know, both teams are kind of whatever, not nationally relevant, and then they'll slug it out for a 17-13 Bears loss or something like that. And you feel bad for the whole country having to sit through that. It's not like that this year. This is a team that should score a lot of points, should have an electric quarterback, and you put them against some of these interesting, really good teams like the Patriots, the Lions, the Eagles, and the Seahawks. I mean, that's going to be good television.
I didn't think that the Patriots would open in Seattle because I didn't think the NFL wanted the attention put on Mike Vrabel. And the cynic in me would wonder now whether, you know, like you said, you know, this is going to be the first game they played since the Super Bowl. And people, quite honestly, weren't all that excited about that Super Bowl. So it does seem weird that you would start with those same two teams. I do wonder whether the scandal surrounding the Patriots this offseason actually makes them a better sell if you're a television executive.
And there's no bad news for the NFL, man. There's never bad news for the NFL. It is a media and attention machine.
Yeah, and I think that, to me, the most interesting part, I think of all the games you listed, I think the game in Buffalo on a Saturday night is, to me, the most compelling for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're walking into a new football stadium, and the Bears, maybe by then, will have some sense of direction where they're going. But I think, you know, we've done this a couple of times, Jason, where we've played in new stadiums, and that's always an interesting point of comparison between that and Soldier Field. But, you know, also you're going to get Josh Allen. You're going to get maybe the best team in the AFC. And more than anything, you're going to start the final month of the season in which the league thinks the Bears are going to be competitors. The league would not have booked Buffalo on December 19th, home Packers on Christmas, if the league didn't. And then against the Lions at 325 in that game that might not be a standalone, but might be one of three games played in that afternoon window. The league doesn't book that if they think that the Bears are out of playoff contention by then. Right. The league doesn't book that if they think that they're fourth in a four-team NFC North. So that's a really difficult run to finish the season. And if the Bears are good, it's going to make for great TV. I think the NFL's banking on them being right there.
Let's go back to the beginning here a little bit. Not everybody knows this. Many of you who are listening do know this, but the opponents have been known since the end of the regular season. The opponents, the NFL has a scheduling model. So, I mean, I could tell you who the Bears are lined up to play in 2028 right now, with a few different variables in there based on who finishes where in divisions. But this schedule is largely predetermined years in advance, and then they match up with certain teams in other divisions that finished in the same place they did last year, 2025. So Bears finished first, which means they're going to play some tougher teams. Who are the teams that they play because they finished first? Seattle, Jacksonville. There's another one I want to say.
Tampa?
Philly.
Okay, correct. Yes.
So those are teams you play because you finished first. If you finish last, you'd be playing teams more like the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
So it's we knew all along it was going to be a tougher list of opponents. You just don't know how the games will fall schedule-wise and back-to-back and, you know, which opponents you get when. I think looking at this schedule, Patrick, there's three things that catch my attention right away. I guess maybe two things, because one of them would be 2A, 2B. One of them is there's no lull in the schedule as of now. And I always point out every year, you know, for now through August or so, you don't really know how tough this schedule will be. There was a year I think it was 2020 when the Bears had a late season home game against the Texans. And I remember going into that season thinking this is when the Texans were pretty good with Deshaun Watson. I think they had gone to the second round of the playoffs the year before. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get killed in that game because the Bears were struggling and Houston looked good. By the time they got to that game, the Bears weren't that good, but Houston was a disaster. So you don't know what that's going to. You don't know the other way around, too. You don't know if maybe the Miami Dolphins or the New Orleans Saints are surprisingly good and that game looks tougher by the time you get to it. But looking at it right now, Pat, on paper, there's no lull in this schedule. There is no kind of easy 2 to 3 weeks where you can catch your breath at all. You get your game against the Jets, but that is sandwiched between Eagles and Packers. That's not going to be there is no little break in this schedule that I can see. The other bye thing week, too that I go ahead.
Bye week and then a home game against the Saints, maybe that might be the only time.
That's you it. Can, I mean,
yeah, that's it.
Even that, Pat, you go into that with a primetime game against the Bucks, who are always good. And you come out of that with a game at Detroit on Thanksgiving on short rest. That's going to be tough.
Sure. And I mean, you know, the Bears are playing the toughest strength of schedule based on 2025 finishes of anybody in football. What is it, 55% wins, something like that, a 550 strength of schedule. So I think we knew that it would be a really tough schedule. But then when you print it out, Jason, you look at it, it's intimidating all the way through. I mean, even if you don't believe, I mean, what if you're a Bears fan, what do you have to pray that Jacksonville's not as good as people think they are? And then you have a Jacksonville Miami doubleheader before getting into Buffalo, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota. Like,
maybe. I mean, there's only two teams on this entire schedule that I see that are not trying this year, and that's the Jets and the Dolphins. I mean, everybody else is trying. The Vikings might not be good, but they just got Kyler Murray. They're trying.
Right.
Everybody is trying. The other thing I always look at in the schedule, Pat, and this is kind of, I guess, like a 2A, 2B here, is how does it start? Because coaches always say, well, you know, the season's not won or lost in week five. It often is. It's often like if you're 1-4, you know, it's kind of hard to come back from that. If you're 4-1, you've got some margin the rest of the way. It does matter. I look at those first 4 weeks leading up to week five at Green Bay, and this is point 2B for me, is it's nice for them that they have three home games out of the first four. That gives them a good chance. But I look at those first four games and I say, okay, at Carolina and then home against Vikings, Eagles, Jets, what is reasonable for them to be? In this podcast, when we do this, talking about the schedule, this is inevitably going to be us pouring cold water on a lot of enthusiasm, because understandably, a lot of Bears fans will look at this schedule. They're projecting Caleb Williams to be the MVP, and they'll say, oh, 14-3. And of course, we're going to come on and say, probably not. I think like 2-2 in those first four going into Green Bay would be reasonable expectations. If you are 2-2 going into the game at Green Bay, I think that's fine.
I think 3-1 is reasonable. And not to be, I am not going to throw, what is throwing hot water on something the opposite of throwing cold water on something?
No, you're putting gasoline on the fire. That's that metaphor.
I'll do that for the first quarter of the season, but I promise you I won't keep it up throughout the rest of this exercise here. I think that they're going to be favored in three of those games, at Carolina, home for the Vikings, home for the Jets. I think that if the Eagles end up moving, why do I want to call him or A.J. Brown? The Eagles end up trading A.J. Brown to the Patriots, which is the rumor, but they have to wait until after June 1st. I think you want to get the Eagles early in the season while they're trying to find their way offensively. So if the Bears are going to be favored in three of those four and maybe have a puncher's chance in primetime at home against the Eagles, if that comes out at 3-1, I'm okay with that, because I don't think a whole bunch of those other four-game stretches are going to end in 3-1.
I think if you're 2-2 going to Green Bay, a game that against a team you feel like is completely your equal, that you are no longer trying to climb back into that rivalry, you're in a good position to go to Green Bay with the chance to win and go to 3-2, and then you get at the Falcons next. But you do a good job of grounding me on some of this, of like bringing me back to earth. So I'm a little surprised that you just chalked up Carolina week one as a win, because usually I'm the one that's thinking that way and you kind of bring me back and remind me, you know, it's very hard to beat even an okay team on the road,
right,
in the NFL. I mean, there are some of these games that are going to be pretty challenging. Though even some of the easy games are going to be harder than I think at first glance.
Yeah.
At Carolina, opening at a playoff team from last year, a team that looks like it's trending up, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
And even that, you know, I think I just made casual reference, or maybe I did in my mind, I can't remember if I said it out loud, to the week six game at Atlanta. I mean, that's not going to be a cakewalk, even if Atlanta's struggling a little bit. I mean, you're not going to just steamroll them, I don't think, in their building.
No, and they have a couple of games like that. You know, in Carolina, by the way, you call Carolina a playoff team, and technically you're correct. I think they were the worst of the playoff teams, and but still, yeah, they go to Carolina, they go to Atlanta, and they go to Miami. All three of those have a potential to be a pretty big trap game for them, because I think most Bears fans would look at it and be like, "Oh, that's a walkover win," and the odds are it's not. You and I talked about this. I think it's really good news for the Bears that their game in Miami is in December and not in September. You used to cover the Dolphins. You saw this all the time.
Tell us a story, Pat. Tell us a story from 2018, a very good Bears team that went to Miami.
Bears team that went to Miami. It was so hot.
It was October.
It was what? What was the – I mean, it was
– probably early or mid-October, very much still summer in Miami.
Yeah, high 90s after when you count the humidity there. And of course, the Dolphins sideline is what, Jason?
In the shade.
The Bears sideline is what?
Very much not in the shade.
And the Bears had to literally have dudes hold what amounted to plastic slabs over their heads to give them some place to stay. I believe the game went overtime. If I'm not, I believe the Bears lost. Right.
A very good Bears team lost to a struggling Dolphins team with their backup quarterback.
And fun fact, their backup quarterback played because their head coach had lied on the injury report during the week, right? Yeah. But
the lesson there is they literally went and melted down. You're very fortunate to get, we as people who live here and will be traveling for that game, but also the Bears are very fortunate to get Miami in December.
Yes. For a lot of reasons, but that's, you know, Lord knows where they're going to be. You know, you talk about how you think that, you know, only two teams here aren't trying, and you might be right. But, you know, when we talk about the Falcons and when we talk about the Dolphins, these are both quarterback situations that could be really, really bad.
Do you have the Falcons as not trying this year?
With Tua Tagovailoa, I don't think they're
okay.
I think maybe we have three then. Yeah, the Falcons didn't have a first round pick this year. They do have one next year, and if I were Ian Cunningham, I would be very enamored with the quarterbacks that are coming up in this year.
So we think we have three teams that are not trying: Jets, Falcons, and Dolphins.
Yes, and. Okay. And, you know, the good thing about playing the Dolphins again in December is we may get to that point with five games left where the Dolphins might very much be incentivized to maybe sit some guys out. Yep. And, you know, the NFL hasn't turned into the NBA quite yet, but I think we did see Jason after Thanksgiving last year, you know, that there were teams who were making some business decisions hoping to goose their draft pick a little bit.
And first-year GMs can do it. They've got the leeway to do that.
Yeah, and both the Dolphins
and Miami and Atlanta have first-year GMs.
Exactly, yes. So we'll see. Do you think that the NFL should tell the Bears that the winner of the Bears-Falcons game gets a compensatory third-round pick?
I covered a basketball game that was kind of like that once. Game 82, Heat at Sixers. And if the Heat... And there was some other game that involved, like, if Orlando lost, but both teams, the Heat and Sixers, were incentivized to lose. Because if Miami won and its draft pick went to, got worse, fell out of the top 10, then it had to give the pick away because of a trade it had made with Philadelphia. So Philadelphia. But however it worked out, both teams were incentivized to lose, and the Heat played, I think, only six players. They played their last six players. Four of the guys played every minute of the game.
Was it fun or was it disgusting?
Stupid. It was completely stupid. It was a mockery and a waste of everyone's time.
I think that as I look at the Bears' schedule here, the three games in a row, New England, Seattle, Tampa in prime time, that scares me because I think Tampa coming last is bad news for the Bears because I think the Bears are better than Tampa, but you know, you never know on these short weeks, you know, if somebody comes up with a hamstring, the Bears are just exhausted maybe after this three primetime game run. I think that they would be ripe to get upset there. If you're asking me what kind of the most likely home disaster would be, I think it would be losing that game in Tampa. You know, and you know, there were years, Jason, where the Bears were so bad that entire storylines were built around, hey, we're on national TV. Our grandmas can watch us from wherever they are. We're going to be extra motivated this time. In the first 9 weeks, the Bears are on national TV, play a night game four times. Like, I'm guessing by the fourth of those four games, the novelty of being under the lights will probably have worn off.
Yeah, but I'm happy when I see the national TV schedule that they have. I'm happy for the rest of the country that has been stuck with bad Bears games for a long time. Did you see, I think Sunday night football week one is Cowboys-Giants. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Giants are East Coast Bears.
I mean, how sick are you if you live anywhere else in the country besides those cities of watching those teams all the time, of getting those teams forced on you? Horrible Giants teams, overrated Cowboys teams, the same boring games all the time. And the Bears had been part of that problem as a big market team that wasn't good for a long time. And now it's going to be so much more fun to watch. If you think of just the random person that lives in, you know, I don't know, Portland, Oregon, and watches football because they just like football, so they watch whatever's on, and now you're getting exciting Bears games, on national TV, that's going to be a really good viewing experience. I liked one of the things I like about the schedule is that they are on primetime. They are primetime is I'm kind of using that word loosely. Standalone games. I'm counting those Christmas Day and Thanksgiving games as quote unquote primetime. I am a little disappointed, Pat, if I look for my and I'll ask you what you really love and what you were disappointed by in the schedule in the second year. I'm disappointed by the week 18 at Vikings game because I don't think the Vikings will be good. That could really end up being a dud of a game, just viewer-wise.
There may be stakes there, though. And if that's the case, it'll be interesting from the Bears' point of view. What I don't like about it, Jason, is that they don't announce the day of that game, obviously, until 7 days out or 6 days out even. So for you and I, our immediate issue is booking air travel on very short notice and making sure that we've got hotel rooms lined up because they could play those games. I think there are three games in week 18 that they put on a Saturday. The rest are on a Sunday. There could be a Sunday night involved there. I was looking ahead to the game before that, the home game against the Lions, in which the Bears are going to have 9 days to get ready. That's, I think, going to be a really important time if they are the playoff team that we think that they can be, for them to rest, recover, and kind of get their minds right. Because the three games before that, at Miami, at Buffalo, and Christmas Day for the Packers. Those are three games in 12 days. And I remember Matt Nagy having to guide the Bears through the gauntlet of that three games in 12 days in 2018. And I think the Bears went 2-1 and were thrilled. In this case, I think the Bears would probably be thrilled to be 2-1 emerging from that. But once you play that Packer game on Christmas Day, which is a Friday, you get all weekend and then the full next week to prepare for a home game against the Lions team that I think is going to be really good. And I think the Lions, honestly, are the biggest obstacle between the Bears and winning the division.
The Bears also will play preseason games home against the Browns, followed by visits to the Bengals and Titans. And while those games are not that big of a deal, I am a little underwhelmed by the opponents. I would have liked, especially if, you know, the likelihood that they'll do joint practices with the first two of those teams. I would have loved to have seen somebody like Baltimore or Kansas City or the Colts involved in those instead. Those are kind of, I don't know. You're not going to get the same quality of work against any of those teams as you would against like the Ravens, for example.
Yeah, I think being able to face Joe Burrow the way the Bears did in a joint practice, was it last year or 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago. It was Caleb's rookie year.
Yeah, I think that's good for a defense that is probably going to be feeling itself out early in the year. There are going to be so many new pieces in that starting lineup that having to go up against Joe Burrow, I think, is a really good challenge. Having to go up against Shedeur Sanders is not a really good challenge. And I wish that maybe that first opponent was a lot better. The second one, I think, is pretty good. And then they played the Titans in week three. Teams just don't do joint practices that late in the postseason or in the preseason. I honestly would rather face the Titans than the Browns if you're talking about trying to get ready, because I think the Titans, even with a new coach and even with a quarterback that's still a question mark, I think they're better at what they do than the Browns are at what they do.
That joint practice with the Browns, though, could be, you know, a nice little boost for the Bears defense.
Might not be for Braxton Jones, though.
That'll be rough. But, you know, it'll help. You know, have a couple days out there, Shedeur just lobbing you up interceptions all day. It'll be nice for them. It'll be a good little boost to start the preseason.
Anything else jump out at you, Jason? I think we've touched on most of these games. Were you surprised? I don't think either of us were surprised that the Bears showed up on Thanksgiving. Or on Christmas, quite honestly. In general, and I'm going to lead you, and I don't know whether you want to be led here, but I'm going to lead you. You and I have to work on these holidays, and we came to grips with that a long time ago, and we're at peace with it. Do you think the NFL is right to be as bold as they are this year in terms of playing the night before Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, playing on Christmas, even though it's a Friday, which used to be something that the league just had zero interest in doing? It seems like the NFL is more than happy to creep into days and times that it used to avoid. and is more than happy to creep into holidays that it used to avoid. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for fans?
Well, it's just going to keep happening, whether it's good or bad. They're going to do more and more and more of that. I keep waiting for Tuesday night football and for four time slots on Sunday every week instead of three. They try to just create more inventory and be able to sell limited packages to YouTube or Netflix or whoever. If they can break this off, these little, you know, Christmas games and sell that to somebody, et cetera. They're going to push and push and push and push until it finally, till there's some kind of backlash. That's how they'll know. And it hasn't happened yet. To answer your question more so, you know, if I try to think as a, if I'm a reporter, I mean, if I'm not a reporter and I'm just a fan, whatever my team is, I think I kind of like football on Thanksgiving, especially if my team is in the early game, because I'm more of like a later, like Thanksgiving dinner rather than Thanksgiving lunch person anyway. I don't really love it on Christmas, though, if I'm a fan. I would probably rather my team not be playing on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I think that Thanksgiving makes sense because Thanksgiving's just been paired with football forever. And you and I talk about this every time the Bears play there. It is sad to leave your family to go to work. But boy, once you get to Ford Field on Thanksgiving Day, it's lovely. The whole setup is welcoming and everybody's thrilled to be there. And I really enjoy, like I said, kind of once you walk in the building, it's one of the best experiences I have every year. Of course, the last two times the Bears went there, we were worried their coach was going to get fired. One of them was, and one of them wasn't. Are you comfortable not having to race back to Chicago after this year's Thanksgiving game?
Yeah, we won't have to worry about that. Yes.
None of the.
I mean, they've been a joke
driving through the night. Yeah,
they've been a total joke in that game. You know, I think there's maybe been three Thanksgiving games for them since I've been covering the team starting in 2019, and none more humiliating and just totally disastrous internally than the Matt Eberflus, you know, game where the clock runs out with a timeout in his pocket and they lose.
Mm-hmm. And that changed their perspective. I mean, I think
open revolt in the locker room afterwards.
Well, and I think everybody in the building knew that Matt Eberflus was a short timer, but I think they were happy to let him play out the streak until that happened. Or maybe not happy to, but I think they were okay if that's what it turned out to be.
You had the disaster of the just ugly Matt Nagy pre-fired report the week, 2021? And then they win 16-14 or something like that, and Nagy takes a victory lap.
Yeah, against the team. I believe the Lions had not won a game at that point, correct?
I believe also it was a separate game unless I'm conflating multiple embarrassing situations there, but I believe it was 2019. They played there on Thanksgiving and were a total mess and goofed up the coin toss because they weren't paying attention. So, I mean, just, and we're getting mocked by, I think it was Troy Aikman, always annoyed by the Bears, even when they're good, annoyed by the Bears because Caleb Williams won't answer when he calls on FaceTime. But this, it's going to be great. That is going to be a great game. I think if Ben Johnson was honest, he would tell you one of the things that makes him boil with rage is that they lost both games to Detroit last year.
I think a lot of stuff might make him boil with rage.
I think that's high on the list, Pat.
Jason, this soup is cold. Do you think he boils with? Do you think if, let's say, he gets soup and it's not quite hot enough, boil with rage or no?
I think that after they lost the second time to Detroit, you could probably have fried an egg on his forehead.
I think that'll be one of the highlights of the season. And you can say this about the NFL. The NFL is anticipating that the Bears will provide must-see TV, not just in Chicago, but around the country and throughout the year, based on when all of these primetime games are. Jason, you and I will be there in person for all of it. You can follow Jason and I on social media. You can check us out at the Chicago Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, please buy a newspaper. He's Jason Leacher. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.